Welcome to Some Say I'm Gifted, where we teach you the magic of walking in your spiritual gifts and how it can help you navigate this crazy life, and helping you understand that even though we're in this world, we are not of it. So take a deep breath, relax your shoulders, and let's get real.
Hello, world! Speaking of being in trouble, we were just talking about being in trouble. I like to be in trouble. No, I don't. Maybe I do. I got some interesting texts from my husband last night that could involve trouble, but we'll talk about that on a later episode.
I feel like that's a different kind of trouble, probably.
Maybe. No. Not at our house. Anyways, you know, that made me think of something I said to my boys today. Uh-huh. Don't go messing around in my room. That's not okay with everybody, Mom. That's all you get of the conversation, but it was pretty funny. Okay, guys, it's me, Tess. You know, Tess from Some Say I'm Gifted. Duh. I'm here with Morgan and Danielle. Speak up, ladies.
Hello, everyone. I'm Danielle.
Hey, it's Morgan.
You silly goose. Okay, do we have a shout out?
We have a shout out. Today we are shouting out Lily Sims.
You mean Lillian Sims.
Lillian Sims. Lillian Sims.
Lillian Sims. You better be listening.
Comes on the intercom. report to the main office.
Lillian, but like, Sims. I know what she did. You know what I mean? No, I'm just playing.
Lillian, you are called out.
Sorry. With love.
With love. Thank you so much for commenting on our stuff.
Thank you for interacting, Lily. We love you. If it wouldn't have been for you, I wouldn't have walked down the aisle and married my husband.
Oh, thanks, Lillian.
Yeah, we'll talk about that after we explain the shout-outs. And here's the thing about the shout-outs. They're really cool because you can interact with us on Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok, and we will shout you out. All you got to do is look for our crazy bazillion days of million days of posts, right?
Yes.
Okay. Now, let me go to the story about... Hold on one... Hold, please. Okay, let me tell you the story about Lillian helping me get down the aisle.
Okay.
Ooh. And I don't know what was in that cup. But I was getting really, really nervous, okay? I love my husband. I'm so happy I'm married, but I was a nervous wreck. Morgan was at my wedding. I was, wasn't yes. I was like, should I do this? Am I doing the right thing? Should I do this? Should I do this? Should I do this?
Trying to walk away.
I kept saying, I think I just need to wait. This isn't right. I had a lot of things, like the stone fell out of my engagement ring. And I was like, that's it. That's why.
It's a sign.
They're like, no, it's a sign. You need to have tighter prongs on the stone, you know? So anyways, Lily walks up to me and goes, hey. You want to try something? And I was like, why are you not in your seat? Because I was about to walk down the aisle. She goes, I feel like I need to come over here and show you something. I went, what? She said, here. And she puts a drink in my face and she says, drink it. And I went, no. She went, drink it. And I was like, okay. Lily's not pushy. Towards me, she's never been pushy. Yeah. Okay. So I took a big swig of it. And I went, what was that? She goes, see you later. And smacked me on the butt. And my brother goes, let's go. Because my brother gave me away. And I get halfway down the aisle. And if you look at pictures of me at my wedding... I am cackling with my brother, like, I don't know what the hell was in that cup, but I feel like I'm going to fart. So thank you, Lily.
Thank God for Lily.
We love you, Lily.
And the push, which leads me to this.
Oh, boy.
Oh, boy.
Y'all ever had a little push?
Oh.
Might have had a big push.
A little pushing? More cushion?
Okay, Morgan.
Hey. Oh.
I feel like that's a different push.
Oh.
I mean, maybe that push works, too. I don't know. I guess it depends.
Y'all good?
Oh, I'm here.
Collect yourself and your things, okay?
I'm just not going to keep making comments because I'm just going
to
Stop.
So, here's the thing. Have you ever received a little push? Maybe a little nudge?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. But from who and from what and in what direction? And what does that mean?
That they love you.
See, but you don't even know what I'm talking about. You don't know, like, first of all, when someone says, I need a little push, what does that mean to you, Morgan?
A little push to make an action, because I am very inactive. I like to gather more information and to make before I make decisions. And
so you're not impulsive.
I'm not impulsive. No, I freeze if somebody tries to force me to be impulsive. So pushing me too early is not good. But sometimes I'll gather all the information and I won't move until somebody pushes
me. You hibernate on it.
Yes, I will hibernate longer than I need to. And sometimes I do need a little push. So I've had my dad push me on some things. I've had you push me on some things. Danielle's probably had to push me on some things. Like, I do need a little push every once in a while. And Chase has had to push me a couple of times. And I'm always grateful. I'm always grateful.
I'm curious to know what Danielle's pushed you on. We'll talk later amongst ourselves. But what about you?
Yeah, I think I've... Like, a little push means to me, so, like, the thing that comes to mind is, like, a few months ago, I was debating whether I needed to stay in, like, the firm I was or move onto another firm. And I didn't realize I needed a little push to, like, make the move, because in my mind, like, what happens with me is I don't know if I hibernate as opposed to go through every single scenario 15,000 times as to what's happening.
She does the same thing.
Okay.
But she likes to collect that information like data.
Yes.
Okay. I usually only go through the process once, and then I
got it.
But she goes through the process once and says, this is the outcome that I'm expecting, but I can see that outcome and this outcome and that outcome. But she will go through the process of getting to that one outcome she wants once, but she'll see 18 different. But this is, you know what I mean?
I see.
Am I wrong?
Nope. Okay. I love that you know us so well.
No, I understand. The crazy thing is I do both of those things.
That's why I never want to live in your brain. I've said it once. I'll say it a million times.
It's very difficult.
I don't want to go past your doorman.
Somebody give me a glass. Sorry. Okay.
No, so I needed a little push. And I probably got a bigger push. But I needed it in order to move forward. But I feel like it's when you're at a stopping point and somebody goes, you gotta move forward, let's go. You know?
Yep.
Like, something needs to happen. You can't remain complacent. So let's stop remaining complacent and do something about it.
Okay. So you would say, yeah, that's what it means to you.
That's what the little push means to me.
Okay. So what if I told you that every day you have the ability to give people a push?
Okay.
But let me rephrase it. Let me ask this first. Mm-hmm. Do you like being the person that gives the person another person a push? Really?
No.
I do.
I do too. I absolutely do. It's one of my favorite things. That's how I feel like. I mean, I've always, like, my purpose in life is to help people go. Not like away.
Yeah.
From
no. You
just listen to me. I mean, wait a minute. Let me look back. I have abandonment issues. My dad left me. No, but you know what I mean? Like, for instance, I have a client I've been working with 4 years pretty consecutively. And I'm not saying this, but usually I work with people a small amount of time. They go, and that's it. But this person's had several things happen. And, like, I'd work with them. Everything would be going great. We would touch base here and there. We'd get through the issue. Because my belief is you go to therapy to get through an issue, then you live life, you have fun. If you need me, you contact me, kind of thing, right? Mm-hmm. So this has happened, but she's had 4 years of this. And from the first time I worked with her to now, the main goal has been to move away and start anew, right?
Yeah.
And it's taken her 4 years. And every time she would be like, can I get a session, or when are you open for a session or whatever? I'd be like, hey, this week, next week, tomorrow, Wednesday, whatever, right? Mm-hmm. And she would say, okay, I need it bad. And I'm like, are you in an emergency situation? No. Okay. And I've seen her in pretty low points. Morgan has, when we do sound therapy healing and things, Morgan's worked with me on this person. So I'm sure you know who I'm talking about. But because when I started to say that, you went, ha, like I saw the light bulb. So anyways, this has been ongoing for some time. And breaks my heart because 4 years ago, she had her ducks in a row and ready to go and ready to make a life change. And it's taken it's been 4 years, right?
Yep. As long as you've been married or longer.
Oh, no, it was before I got married.
Yeah, it was before you got married. Because I remember, I think we worked on her during that week or... We were gonna work on her during
that week? She came to my wedding.
Okay.
But we worked on her probably 6 months before that.
So yeah, whenever we...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's been at least 4 years, if not longer.
Yeah.
So recently, I got a phone call. Panic phone call. And said, hey, can you do a session this week? And I was like, sure. So we do a phone call, and I do a session. I'm like, what's up? She's like, I don't want to live. And I went, okay. You know my rule, because I tell people when I work with them, I'm here, I don't tell anybody your business until I have to, and then the only time I have to is if you say you don't want to be alive anymore and you want to be the one that facilitates the unaliving, okay? So I'm very, very upfront, but that's no different than anybody else that works with people in mental health and emotional health and things like that, right? So I tell her all the rigmarole, and I, you know, go from there, and I said, she said, yes, that's why I need an emergency session. I don't want to be here anymore. And I went, okay, why? Let's look at things. And she starts listening things off, and I went, okay, can I be honest with you? And she went, yes. Because she's worked with me long enough to know that I'm going to be like, you don't want to die. You don't want to be where you are. Mm-hmm. And that's what I said to her. And she said, what do you mean? And she kind of got mad, which means what I'm saying is getting to somebody or something, right? Because if you're getting pissed,
yeah. Defensive.
Getting yeah. So... She said, what do you mean? I said, you wanted to move away. And you have put things off for 4 years. She said, it's not been 4 years. I said, it's been at least 4 years, if not more. And I said, I will double check with Morgan and my notes, but I'm pretty sure it's been that long. Here's the deal. I can talk to you every day for the rest of your life, but until you decide to quit letting that fire under your ass burn you and you move, it doesn't matter. So I'm going to make this real short and sweet. Do you want to leave? She said, yes. I said, then what are you waiting for? She said, I don't know. No one in my family has left. And I said, that's not true. Not true. Absolutely not true. She said, how is that not true? I said, where are your grandparents? Do they live in the same place that they've always lived for a bazillion and a half years? She went, okay, so they're the only ones in my family that left. And I said, who do you look to as parental guidance? She said, my grandparents. I said, which grandparents? The one that left? She said, yes. I said, so what are you doing? She said, I don't know. I said, okay, what do you want me to do? You want to talk to me about it? You want to tell me how you want to cut yourself and how you don't want to live and how... You want to feel anything but what you're feeling? You want to? And she went, are you making fun of me? I said, I'm not making fun of you. I'm telling you, I'm asking you, what do you want from me? You're paying me. What do you want? You want me to tell you? Good job, kid. Stay where you're at and be miserable. Woohoo! Or do you want me to tell you the schooling that you get in that state's not going to transfer to other states? It's just not. Doesn't matter how you pray in it. Like, the field that you want to go into, is that's not going to transfer, right? I said, or do you want me to be honest with you and say, listen, friend, you have been setting this up this way for this long. Now you've put yourself in a corner that you might not be able to leave because you've signed up for school. So the first step would be, and I said, do you have a pen and paper? We got to write shit down. She said, okay. The first step would be you have to find out if all your everything can transfer here. If not, you're going to be there at least one semester because you already got accepted into the community college there. But because it's a community college, it should be transferable. And she was like, okay. So secondly, when you find out if you can transfer, then you have to get in touch with financial aid and see if you can get that transferred to a college in the state that you want to live in, specifically the college you want to, the community college you want to go to. And she said, okay. I said, then you have to get all those ducks in a row, which school starts in August, right?
Yep.
And when we were having this conversation, it was June. Well, end of June, beginning of July. So that's important to know, okay? Mm-hmm. I said, so you have to get all your ducks in a row like that. And then you got to tell your husband that you're moving. She said, don't you think I should do that first? I said, why in the world would you worry a hair on his little head without knowing if it's possible? And she started crying. And I said, are you okay? She went, I haven't felt free for years till now. The last time I felt free is when you and Morgan worked on me.
When you first decided to
move. And I said, isn't that when you first, I got this great idea to move? And she went, yeah. And I went, so what are we waiting for? What are we doing with ourselves? Why are we sitting here? Why are we pacing? Why are we freaking out? What is our problem? And she said, I don't know. I said, I do. She said, what? I said, fear. I said, so there's not many things that I really like to do, but I love to push people out of fear. Because fear is the worst place to be. Well, one of the worst places to be, I should say. So we went through this plan. We went through it about 150 times. And she goes, okay, I think I got this. I know what to do, and this is what I want. And I'm like, if you don't want this, that's fine, baby. But if this is what you want, this is what you got to do. And she agreed, okay? 2 hours later, I get a call. Hey, I just got off the phone with the school that I wanted to go to. And they said, if I withdraw right now, I should be able to get into another college. And I was like, great. Financial aid's the main thing, you know? Mm-hmm. She said, I can't call them today. I have to go to work. I'm going to contact them tomorrow. I said, great. So 24 hours later, after the original call, I get another call saying, guess what? I got accepted into the school and the financial aid transfers over. I'm going to move to that new state by August 1st.
Whoa.
Holy crap. You realize that's just a few months away. Right? Have you talked to your husband? She went, doing it tonight.
Wow.
I said, okay. She said, I'll call you if there's a problem. If there's no problem, you won't hear from me. I said, wonderful. The next day, she texted me and said, everything went great. He's on board with it. He is not somebody that gets on board that quickly. I'm just going to say that. He's not a bad guy. I'm just saying that I think for anybody it would take a while. Right.
Yeah.
He's uprooting his life, moving on the other side of the country. This is a big thing. Right. So I said, okay, great. She said, can we schedule a session for next week? I want to make sure that what I'm feeling is right. And I said, absolutely. So he scheduled a session for the next week. That week comes along and she is ecstatic. It's like trying to counsel a bouncing ball is the best way I can explain it. She's all over the place. She's here. She's there. She's happy. She's laughing. She's happy. She's laughing. And I'm like, okay. We got to talk about some things. First of all, it's wonderful all this happened. Have you talked to your grandparents? Because she wanted to move the state that her grandparents lived in. You've talked to them about staying with them? Yes. I'm like, great. Have you got a job? She's like, yes, I got a job already in the works. Everything's going, and it's in the field I want to work in, and everything's going to plan. I'm like, school. Everything's great. And I'm like, okay, and your husband, everything's great. I said, awesome. She's like, great. And she's just talking. She's so happy. And I said, are there any fears, any worries, any regrets? No. Like, okay. Now, this person I've worked with for a long time, and there's like touches of OCD and ADD, 88, all kinds of stuff. Like, and I'm not saying that bad. I'm just saying there's a lot of things there. Yeah. I said, we've gone over a little bit on your session. I don't care, but don't you need to be packing? She went, my house is already packed.
Whoa.
Oh, my God.
I said, what? And she went, I've lost 5 pounds this week. I've been stuck. And I've not been having my periods regularly. I didn't know what was wrong. And I've started my period and I've lost 5 pounds.
No.
She said, that was really the reason I wanted to talk to you this week, to thank you for the push.
Oh.
And I cried. I'm not supposed to cry. I cried. So, yes, I love giving the push. I love being the one that says, let's go. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So, you don't like that?
No.
Why?
Because I don't feel like I have the life experience to tell somebody else what to do. I'm afraid that I'm going to push them to do something and it's going to be wrong.
So, it's their choice.
Yeah.
And that was one of the things she said. I said, are you worried about it? She said, I'm worried about coming down there and flunking out of school. And I'm like, that's the biggest worry? She's like, yeah. I'm like,
that's not a bad one.
That's not the worst thing in the world that could happen.
That's why I like the expectation, or the keep your expectations low, you know, that type of, or not keep your expectations low, but to narrate in your head what is the worst thing that could happen and the best thing that can happen and weigh the risk.
So prepare for the worst.
Yes.
And hope for the best. Yes. There we go with that saying. Again. And it's just not sticking with you.
No, it's not sticking.
But also your motto, so as weird as that sounds, right?
Yeah. Yep.
So do you like doing that, right?
Yes.
Now, I know that that's the one I just talked about is extreme, but you got to realize that's 4 years in the making.
Yeah.
I would never work with somebody one time and be like, hey, you want to move to Texas and you live in like New York? Well, pick up your stuff and go, cowgirl. What like, I would never do that.
Yeah. Huh? What you waiting for?
Yeah, yeah, like, I would never do that. I mean, like, we're talking 4 years on a regular, just at least twice a month, sometimes four times a month basis.
Yeah. I just, like, I feel like a lot of my life people have come to me for advice, and I like offering that and hoping that it changes the course of their life for the better. I like hoping for the best, but I've always felt like one of my purposes is just being able to be like a soundboard for somebody, but also offering whatever it is that they need in that time to like move on to whatever the next step in their life is. I like that. It makes me happy because I feel like I'm doing something good for somebody else.
Okay. No, I feel that. I mean, I do that. It's, Morgan's like, what if I make the wrong choice? I get you.
Yeah.
I understand what she's... I mean, I understand.
Also, I'm not a super inquisitive person when it comes to other people's lives. So, which...
You're kidding.
I mean, I don't go deeper. So when people bring their questions or their questions and concerns with me, I'll answer their questions. I'll give them the advice that they ask for, but I won't go the step further to say, well, how do you feel about it?
Yeah.
I don't dig deeper. So if I'm not digging deeper, then I don't really know their full situation. So I don't know. Maybe I should be better about that.
I think it's weird because with me, you're like, but how do you feel about that? You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I've probably done that with you.
You have.
I remember a specific phone call where we kind of did some digging, but
absolutely.
Yeah, so maybe it's just with my core people I'm comfortable doing it with, but certainly not people.
I think it's with people that if you don't know their life, you don't want to push. Like, you don't want to be too pushy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's different for me because they're coming to me for help.
Yeah.
Like, they're literally, that's what they're paying for me for.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and I'm not saying I don't do that in my regular day-to-day life, like with friends and family members. I do to an extent, but like, I know when I'm like, do you want my me opinion or my, like, counselor opinion? You want Tess?
Professional or personal?
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's different. So, what if you gave a push and somebody got mad? Have you ever had that?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay, tell me.
Yeah. I love my husband to death. We get I'm so grateful for him. But there have been times for both of us that we have had to give each other pushes and both of us have been mad that the other person has said what they said. Because we, like, there have been things that I've told him that I'm like, hey, I really think that this is a thing that I'm seeing. I feel like it's hurting you, and therefore it's hurting me, and therefore it's hurting people around you. I think it needs to change. And there was definitely a time where I was met with a lot of resistance and a lot of pushback and a lot of like, I don't see that. That's not what I feel. So no. And then over time, it was like, you know what? Actually, maybe you're right. And same goes for me to him. Like, it took some time, but I was like, you know what? Now I see what you're saying. I get it. I appreciate you for bringing it to me. I'm sorry I got mad, but at least it made me think about it. And I wanted to do something about it to make it better if that's truly how you felt, you know?
No, I understand. I get that. I mean, I've had some... Mine are a little bit more intense.
Mm-hmm.
I do have a pattern. It's usually men that have testosterone issues or on supplemental testosterone, which is odd.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that weird?
Very specific.
Really, for real. Two different men, both counseling... Both of them were on testosterone. They had testosterone issues. They were on supplements of testosterone. One got shots, one used a cream. And there is a difference, you know? Which is really funny because someone that's very close to me, not my husband, but someone that's very close to me that I talk to on a regular basis has testosterone. They're like, it's nothing to do with the testosterone because we talk on a regular basis. But someone that I'm very close to, right? My brother, because he was a cop and he works swing shift and it screwed up his testosterone. He's fine now, but it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So he's like, that's not it. I'm like, it's because you're my brother and we can see around each other's issues, you know. But two different scenarios, both of them refused to work with me because I brought them truth and they didn't like it. Wasn't even a push, just brought them truth.
Very, in my experience, men are very sensitive to that sort of topic, though.
Of truth?
Of their truth. Testosterone and...
No, it wasn't about their testosterone. No, it wasn't about their testosterone.
Oh, okay, you're just saying that men that you were talking about testosterone and brought truth about other things, those men had...
Men that had sought out medical help before ever meeting me had testosterone issues and were on medicated testosterone, either shots or cream.
Yes.
Got it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. This was within the last 2 years, two different men. This is, okay?
Mm-hmm.
That came to me for counseling, okay? I came to them with truth about their marriages, their patterns, things like that, things that they wanted us to work on.
Yeah.
That were truthful.
Okay.
Weren't mean.
Okay.
And they'd be like, enough, I will work with you no longer.
Gotcha. Okay.
Mm.
It's really weird. Mm-hmm. Both of them cussed me as well.
Woo.
Wow.
Yep. Isn't that weird?
It is weird.
Well, anybody who's done testosterone that I know has always said that it doesn't make you angry. It just exaggerates the character that you already are.
And I agree. I couldn't agree more.
100% feel that, for sure.
Absolutely. One was a very aggressive, angry cussing. The other one was a very passive, well, you bitch, cussing. Mm.
There was one more I thought about, too. Okay. And this is outside of my spouse. This is a very close friend of mine. And so they were in a relationship, and I spent a lot of time around her and her boyfriend. And I just saw some things that the boyfriend was doing that I was not okay with because I really cared about this person. And there was some comments that were made about past relationships and him and how people were better than his current girlfriend. And there was just, and there was a lot of...
He said these things?
He said these things in front of a group of people, and I was a part of that group of people.
Was your friend a part of that group of people? Like, yes. She wasn't there to defend herself?
She was sitting in the same room. We were all in the same room together.
Was she drunk or high?
No. Neither. She really doesn't do a whole lot of either.
Yeah, I mean, I'm throwing out scenarios. Yeah, because if I'm sitting there,
mm-hmm.
and my boyfriend goes, Ayo, by the way, you're not as good as my ex. I'm like, okay.
Yeah. No, it was basically like he was saying, oh, she was so great, past ex.
Mm.
Yeah.
Not necessarily saying that the current girlfriend wasn't, but was very much going on about the past one, right?
You can't do that.
Not only that, but just in terms of the way, like, finances were being handled, and there was, like,
ooh,
just some...
Damn!
There was a lot going on. So, I...
And this was in a room full of people.
This was in a room full of people. That particular situation, but this went on for, like, months, and I spent a lot of time with them, so I was
around
them a whole lot. Yeah. And I felt like, before they made the next step, I needed to have a conversation with her.
Yeah.
And be like, is this really what you want? Because this is what I'm seeing.
Sure you want this motherfucker in your britches?
Are you sure that this is the person that you say you want to spend the rest of your life with?
Yeah.
And I was just like, see it from my lens. These are the things that I've heard. These are the things that I've seen. Like, I just don't want you to get hurt. And so I want you to go, is this truly what I want? Or am I, you know, putting on the rose-colored glasses and seeing past it? And she got so mad, and we did not talk for a long time.
Really?
A very long time. We did not talk because she didn't want to hear it. And there was a point right before she stopped talking to me that there was a little bit of maybe this person's right. And I could see it in her eyes, and I could see that because we had this conversation in person. And then after that, she went to him, talked to him, and we stopped talking for a while.
Mm. Where are they now?
They're married.
Okay.
And do you think that they're happy and have worked through those things?
I don't think they've worked through those things. I
really? You don't think they have?
Well...
So I want you to take a deep breath. Yeah. I want you to think about the situation. Who handles the finances now?
She does.
Did she back then?
No.
So she took care of it?
She took the upper hand.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think that they worked through these things.
But she probably did need you to point them out.
Maybe. I don't know. I don't know. I just know that that was one of the times that I remember that I was met with a lot of resistance. And I felt, but I really felt like I needed to say something.
And sometimes it sucks because you don't get a thank you.
Right.
Like, I've seen you help people and they get angry and then they're like, oh, damn, she was right. But they're too proud to go back and say, hey, you were right.
Mm-hmm. I don't really care. As long, you know, and that's part of the thing of it. My, what pisses me off is when they say, this other person did help me.
Mm. Oh, when they deny it?
So let me, because I no longer work with this person, I'm going to talk about it. I'm not going to say his name. I'm not going to say, because that's illegal. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I own my own practice. What I do is in a whole nother world. So we're going to go from there. Okay. I work with this person, one of the testosterone men. We'll call him. I'm trying to think of a name I could call this person.
Ralph?
I was thinking Richard, so.
We were in the R's.
Ralph, I call everybody Ralph, so we'll use Ralph. Okay. So Ralph had a very rough upbringing, okay? And because when I work with people, I say I'm spiritually gifted. He knew that. He didn't want to work with anybody else because he said that I could call out things that he couldn't hide from other people, and that's what he needed. He needed somebody to be honest and truthful in his life, okay? When I was, remember, he got pissed, okay? Mm-hmm. So Ralph had and I had worked together off and on probably 2 or 3 years. I would dare say that you guys met him.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So anyways, I think we all agreed that at one time when he was a small child, he was molested.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I think we all picked that up when we were working on it.
Yeah.
When we bring somebody in, it's really cool to watch, right? When we bring somebody in to work in on a sound therapy bed, especially if I've been counseling with them or I've worked on them before, if you're new working with me or you've been taking classes, I'll say, okay, tell me what you feel. Tell me what you get. Mm-hmm. And let's say the three of us are working on somebody, like, Danielle, tell me what you get. Morgan, tell me what you get. And, you know, Morgan has worked with me for a really long time, so she'll wait and be the last one to tell me before I say what I got. Okay?
Yeah.
Because usually Morgan's either worked on them or she knows if I say it, people will agree with me whether they feel it or not. And that's sometimes the truth, but I also like to give everybody their own room and places to say it. Okay? So we all agreed with that. And I kept saying, you really want the truth? And I said, yes. Okay. I really feel like at some point that you were molested. And a molestation doesn't always have to be a touch. It could be spoken. Yeah. You could have walked in and seen something. Somebody could have shown you pornography, like, at a very young age. There's so many levels of molestation. But I really feel like you carry that. And I think that's one of the reasons why you have some of the issues. He had a compulsive cheating issue.
Mm.
And with numerous, okay? So anyways.
Yeah.
This went on and on and on and on, okay? And no. He had a problem and eventually had to go to rehab because he had such an addiction to having sex and alcohol.
Mm.
Okay, like I can't remember the exact number that he had cheated on his current wife, but it's pretty high for a very short amount of time in marriage, okay? Anyways, I'm not supposed to know this. He goes and pays all this money for a big fancy rehab. And within the first 3 to 5 days, he has an epiphany with the psychiatrist there that he was molested as a child, and that's the root of all of his issues. And I can't. I want to strangle him!
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Like,
what a slap in the face, though. You know what
I mean? That's okay.
Yeah. Like,
I mean, as much as I was aggravated, I am so happy he got the help he needed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For sure. He couldn't hear it from you, at least he was able to hear it from somebody.
Yeah, that's what it is. But the thing is, like, if you... I don't think I was the first person to tell him. I clearly wasn't the last.
Mm-hmm.
But it does put you in a place where you don't. It is sometimes it does get discouraging to give a push. So, luckily, because of what I do, I have to realize I have to give pushes no matter what. And that's another thing God's called me to do, is to give pushes, right? So now we've talked about all these pushes. Can and do you push yourself? And if so, how? I want to know. I mean, it's open mic. I'll tell you about mine, but I ask first, so let's go.
I feel like I would much rather be the pusher than to somebody else than myself. I have...
No, you don't push yourself, is what I'm saying?
Yeah, well, I feel like I hate pushing myself.
You do?
Why? I hate pushing myself. I don't know. Because I like thinking that I've accomplished things. So moving on to the next thing is that I haven't accomplished what I wanted to accomplish, so therefore I failed. You know what I mean?
Wow. Dash. No, I do not know what you
mean. I'm sorry. Can you say it again?
So, like, no.
So she feels like if she has to move on to something new, she failed whatever she was doing currently.
Correct.
Oh.
Such a messed up mindset, I'm aware.
Oh, wow.
That's harsh,
That's
bro.
That's dangerous.
It's crazy. But, you know, that's... So, like, I know that I need
to... I just see her, like some sort of monster with, like, a whole bunch of arms and trying to do a million things at once then. Because, like, if you want to get to somewhere, how are you supposed to hold on to all these other things? You got to put things down before you can pick up more things, Danielle.
I feel like that's how I operate, as terrible
You only got two hands, baby girl.
That's true. So true. But hey, look, this is why we're talking about right? Really. So here we are. That is, so the pushing is a whole...
Okay.
I don't love it.
What about you? Do you push yourself?
I push myself sometimes. Sometimes I push myself and sometimes I do not push myself. You know, once I've hibernated on my decision long enough, then either somebody pushes me or I push myself. But there are certain aspects of my life where I push myself easier than other parts of my life. Like, in my business, I'm usually pretty good at pushing myself. Recently, I've not been, but I'm like, riding
that
fence.
Push yourself, like, to be economically smart. That's not...
Okay, I'm careful. I'm very careful in every aspect of my life.
But you push yourself to be careful. You push yourself... business-wise, I do think that you push yourself or you wouldn't be seeking advice.
That's true. Because you want to grow.
I'm gathering my knowledge right now. Yeah. I'm in this.
Collecting all the brain cords.
Yes. Getting ready to hibernate.
Yes. This is true. And we talked about this. And this is why we're looking at January. But whatever.
Yes. So there are certain aspects of my life that I push myself in easier than I push myself in others.
What are the easy ones? I haven't heard those yet.
The business one's easier for me. I mean,
so what's the harder ones for you?
Spiritually, I think.
Really?
Yeah.
How so? Explain it to me.
I get comfortable.
Spiritually, you get comfortable?
Yes.
Sometimes. I don't see that about you at all.
I took a 3-year hiatus.
Once.
Yeah.
And it wasn't a hiatus, it was because of something that was trying a porcupine that was trying to be a unicorn trying to distract you, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's not the same as...
I don't know. I feel like you were still fighting in that to hold on to the level of spirituality that you already knew you had. Like, you were still trying to hold on to it while all this other stuff was trying to take it away.
Yeah.
So you were still pushing yourself to keep that. And mm-hmm. until you could get to the level where you had released all that other stuff and now you could move forward, you know?
So not that the person with 8 arms is trying to explain something to you like that, but...
Listen.
We're just helping each other out right now.
I mean, there's a codependency in this room and it ain't me, which is really something.
I want to hear about Tess's pushing and...
I push myself... two extremes, 24/7, nonstop, to a point that it's not healthy. I do the opposite.
So I feel like we need to, like, give and take here.
No, I do the opposite of you guys. I push and push and push and push and push and push and push to where
Like, literally, remember, I've told you guys, I broke my foot 9 times. I just thought my foot was swelling because I was fat, and I refused to go to the doctor because I had other things to do.
Yeah.
I push and push and push and push myself to limits and levels that aren't good.
Yeah. So there's like, no stop. There's no pause. Mm-mm. There's no,
mm-mm.
We're going to.
When I sit down, remember I said I go like this nonstop?
Yeah.
And then when I sit down, if I get a blanket, it's over.
Yeah. That's,
even as a small child, I was that way.
Mm-hmm.
I was like the Energizer Bunny, and I always wanted to be around the adults and nonstop. And then they would, like, my mom and my dad, they would have these, like, get-togethers, and everybody would play Rook and cards and stuff like that. And I would make sure all the kids were asleep. And I wasn't the oldest child, okay? Like, I was their oldest child, but the oldest child of the group, I wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd make sure all the kids were taken care of, all the kids were asleep, and I would come get a pillow and a blanket, and I would curl up in a corner in the room with all the adults and sleep on the floor.
Wow.
Now that you're saying that, I do realize, like, I do have that mindset with a lot of things. Especially, like, because I'm a goal setter.
Yeah.
So, like, financially, it was really easy for me to push myself, like, I have expectations of, like, I'm a squirrel with my money. I identify as a squirrel.
Maybe that's your mascot.
It's not, but.
Just hope it's up.
But, like, I push for financial goals. That is one of my, like, things, because I have little donut holes or little hidey holes for my money, and I'm constantly like, that one needs more. No, I'm going to put more in this one because this one needs more, and this one. So I get real crazy into pushing for finances. That one's really easy for me, and I do, like, my day is always full, so I push myself work-wise too much. So
home life,
right.
Too much.
Yeah.
For instance, this morning.
Vacations.
Vacation, yes.
I have vacation like every month.
Yeah, because you have to take that time.
Yeah.
Because if you don't, you will overload.
I push for peace.
Yes, I
That's
do too.
What I push for peace.
To the point that it's not healthy.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Like this. Don't push it.
Yeah, so this morning, my husband, I said to him, hey, when you get off work, I know you're going to go to the gym, and then when you're done with that, you call me and I will let you know if dinner's ready.
It's too much.
And we're going to be recording all day, so you can pick up the boys from the house, come to the Airbnb where we're recording. We can all have dinner and then you can take them home. And he goes, I am not doing that. And I went, what do you mean you're not doing that? He said, I'm not the one working. And I went, I'm asking you to come have dinner with people I care about. I'm going to cook. What's the problem? Mm-hmm. You're mad that you have to pick up my 2 children and bring them to a 5 minutes down the road to eat? And he went, no, I'm telling you to go do your thing. The kids are clearly old enough to stay at home alone. They'll be worn out from football practice this morning. Let them chill. You go do your thing. I'll take care of the kids and get dinner. And I went, fine. And I left without giving a hug, kiss, or a love you to my husband. Mm-hmm. And I peel out of my driveway, which is not easy to do if you start.
It's not safe to do.
Driving fast. And I said to my boys, do you all even want to eat over there today? Do you want me to cook dinner? Do you even care? And my eldest goes, it's fine. I don't care.
Whatever.
It's fine with it. I'm like, yes or no? He's like, yes, I'll come. And I went, yeah. How many episodes do we need to record? And he went, what? I went, nothing. And I was like, are you going to be mad if I don't cook? And just went, no. Mm-hmm. So I called my husband and said, hey. He went, what? I said, I'm sorry I left without giving you a hug and kiss and telling you I love you. He said, okay. I said, I love you. He said, I love you. He said, I just thought you realized what time it was and the boys had football practice and you were hurrying out the door. I said, no, I was mad. He said, I kind of thought that too. And he said, why? He said, so? I said, so you're right. I'm not going to cook tonight. There's no reason for me to push myself. And I would really appreciate it if you got the boys food. He said, okay. I said, I love you. He said, I love you. And that was it. But if I don't understand that I'm pushing myself too far, then I get pissy if somebody tells me.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But I will say the older I get, the more the pissiness doesn't last as long.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because used to, you would have held on to that for a little while.
Yeah. I'm like, well, it's because at this point I'm like, He's right. Darn it.
When was the last time you didn't make sure your family was fed? Like, this is probably the first time in years that you haven't sat or made sure that they were even getting food delivered, mm-hmm. or you made food for them, yeah. or something. Like, I know your family's fed because Chuck's taking care of them, but when was the last time you gave that responsibility over to somebody?
Mind you, I did drop them off with a full pizza.
Yes.
In a house full of food. I mean, yes. I'm not trying to brag, but, like, there's plenty of food there, too.
Yeah, but you handed off the care of your children to Chuck.
The last time I did this, when I had surgery about a year ago.
That's true.
Because you had to.
No, that is a lie. I was having a meltdown over some things not too long ago. I Gandalf, I didn't fart, but the Gandalf dream of setting boundaries was really something I had to work on. And I had let that get to me in a very unhealthy way. And it was really, really, pardon my French, another word, fucked up. Mm-hmm. And I was pacing, and my husband said, "You cannot do this. Mm-hmm. Take the night off from cooking. We're ordering pizza." And I was like, "No, honey, no, I'll give you money." He went, "It's not an option." So a lot of people, when they met Chuck and we first were together, especially when we got engaged, people were like, "I have to meet this man that can control your energy." And he's like, "Why are people saying that to you all the time? Why do people go and shake my hand like, man, you can..." I said, "Because it takes a lot to control me." He's like, "I am
not controlling you."
He said, "That's the thing. I'm not controlling you. I'm just here."
Yeah.
And he doesn't control me. He grounds me. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Yeah.
I love Chuck.
Yeah. Everybody loves Chuck, especially when you realize he has to put up with me 24/7. So, yeah, probably... And even then, I was like, I can cook. I can. He's like, "Just shut up."
Yeah.
But he does, like, sometimes say, "Hey, we're not going to do that tonight. I'm going to grill this. And if you want to pick up sides, that's fine. But let me handle it."
Yeah.
So he is really, I mean, he does have to, like, try to take the reins for me because I'm so used to going breakfast, lunch, dinner. Right, you know? Yep. But probably really a year.
Yeah.
Which is cool. I mean, I think the other thing for me is it's hard to let somebody do that because I've not really ever had that.
Yeah. I love it. It's beautiful.
It is cool. It's beautiful. Amazing. He's so nonchalant about it, I think he's being an asshole, which is funny. Because if you would have been there this morning, you'd be like, "Why are you mad?"
Yep.
So, anyways, we want to know if you guys like to push or get pushed, or if you overpush yourself and all these things. Holler at us on Facebook, TikTok, Instagram at Some Say I'm Gifted, or you can always holler at us quietly and privately, I mean, at somesayimgifted@gmail.com. You can holler at me at Tessera Lee McKittrick on Facebook. We love you guys. Can't wait to hear from you. Talk to you next week.
Bye, guys.
Bye.